InRadioBroadcastRadio.com, the home of broadcast audio components.
This is In Radio, your industry radio station. Good evening, this is Roy Martin live for a special programme. Gary King's Totally 90s will be on the way very soon, but first, we're going to swear a lot, so if you're easily offended, may we suggest that you piss off.
Roy Martin, on your industry station, In Radio. It's time for the X-Rated Daryl Denham Show. If you're easily offended, we suggest you go.
If you're staying, grab a drink and get in the mood, cause the show is adults only and it's gonna get rude. We recommend you crank your knob and give it a twist.
Daryl's got a stiff one and he's gonna get pissed.
He's got sketchy songs and phone calls, and without a doubt, it's better than the bollocks that the others churn out. Are you ready for 60 minutes of the X-Rated Daryl Denham Show?
Yeah, that felt really weird saying the words piss off in that opening link, because I don't think I've ever sat behind a microphone in, what, 20, 25 years of being on the radio and said the words piss off on the radio. So it's a good job this is my radio station and Ofcom don't give a toss about what we do. It still feels wrong. So we're going to talk about the new Ofcom list, which is a list which lists a load of words which you can possibly not say on the radio without getting in trouble. Offensive language and gestures on TV and radio. Joining me to discuss this is a man who knows much more about this stuff than I do, Stuart Clarkson. Evening, Stuart.
Evening, motherfuckers.
Hey, calm down, cunt.
Oh, are we not allowed to say that one?
No, we can't talk. We can say swear words, but that's the whole point. It still feels funny. Did that feel funny?
Yeah, it felt really wrong. Sorry.
It's all right. So in true Terry Wogan style, we haven't prepared for this. I basically said to Stuart a couple of hours ago on Messenger, we should go on the radio and on In Radio and talk about this list that's come out today, which I've not written about because I didn't want to fill my website up with loads of swear words. But I thought, well, we can go on the radio and talk about it. So Gary King is on hold. He'll be playing the hits as soon as we've done with this.
Bellend.
Yeah. If you haven't got the list, it's on the Ofcom website. And it's basically, I've printed out, there's 15 pages of swear words almost. Everything from arse to wanker, as you pointed out to me a little while ago. And it's very offensive. But coming up in the next few minutes, we have Paul Chandler, who does this kind of thing for a living. He goes around radio stations.
What, swearing?
No, he goes around radio stations and tells people what they can't say on the radio. I've just been speaking to Daryl Denham, who kindly lent us that opening jingle, because he did a show in the 90s, it was decades ago, called The X-Rated Daryl Denham Show. And he got away with it, I think. And he had loads of jingles like this. Like this. Oh, crap. Like this?
The X-Rated Daryl Denham Show. If you're easily offended, may we suggest that you piss off?
So I don't know how he got away with that, but he did.
I used to listen to that. I was a teenager listening in my bedroom when he used to do that show.
It was great, wasn't it?
The Unshaven Haven, he called it.
That's right, yeah. People have tuned in for swear words, so let's go through a couple of the lists before we bring in Paul.
Should we talk about why they've done this?
Should we
give it the relevant context, as Ofcom would like us to do?
Bollocks to that, but yes, let's do that. So, Mr. Journalist, tell us why this list is here.
Well, it's something Ofcom do every few years. I think it's about 6 years since they last did this research. And they've actually found that people are a bit more tolerant of normal effing and jeffing, but a bit less tolerant of language that's racist or that's discriminatory based on ethnicity or sexual orientation and those things. So it's actually quite interesting research, because it's showing us that people are happy with, or not happy, but they're happier with swearing if it's in context, if it's representative of real life, but they're not as happy with offensive language. So we're probably not going to talk about some of the discriminatory stuff tonight. We'll stick to the funny swear words.
Such as...
Would you like me to categorise them as you say them out?
Yeah, okay, we can do that. So if I said to you, so let's go for some obvious ones and say bitch.
Bitch. Oh, can't say bitch.
No?
Well,
what about before female the watershed? Dogs?
Well, before the watershed, it's probably not acceptable at all. It's a kind of medium one is bitch, but yeah, it's all about the context. I mean, we all remember watching Private Parts, the Howard Stern film, you know, and the game they're playing in the studio, blank Willow, blank a doodle doo, you know.
Yeah,
it's about the context.
Cunt.
I beg your pardon?
No, I'm just asking you what you think of the word. What category is it in?
I couldn't comment on that.
You couldn't comment.
I couldn't comment. That's really no. So there are three on the top end of the list that you're really not allowed to use on air. And
is that the wife?
Do you hear my wife in the background?
I did, cocksucker.
She says bitch is fine. No, she didn't call me a cocksucker.
Oh,
she said bitch is absolutely fine.
Did she?
At her work.
Oh, she's a vet.
She's a vet, so bitch is fine. Use that all day.
Dildo. That's a
And we sexual. Didn't talk about... We didn't finish the C word.
Oh, right. Sorry, carry on.
So there are three top-end ones that are absolute no-nos you will get into serious trouble if you use on the air. They are, of course, cunt, fuck, and motherfucker. So don't use those ones ever.
Okay.
In front of a live microphone.
That's good advice.
Thanks. Yeah. Sorry, carry on.
And there are offensive gestures, which I guess this is for TV, but blowjob is on there. So giving a blowjob on TV is offensive? Is it?
Is it?
That's not a rhetorical question.
I would presume on TV, if you see the detail, yeah.
Strong gesture.
Ofcom wouldn't be very happy about that.
Generally unacceptable pre-watershed, seen as vulgar and overtly sexual.
Yeah, but a lot of things in dramas get hinted at, don't they? So it's all about how you represent it, and some things you can get away with references to, even if they're not overtly explicit.
So back to radio. Paul Chandler, good evening, Paul.
Oh, hi there, Roy.
How are you?
Nice to
you.
I'm extremely well, thank you.
Fantastic. You've been hearing us say a lot of words. Would you be having a heart attack right now if we were actually an Ofcom licensed station?
I think I would, really, because partly because a lot of these words aren't necessarily said by presenters, but nevertheless, when you have a guest on or you have a competition winner, they could blurt out some of these words, and that's one way you can get into trouble. I don't think, I think very few content directors, program controllers would actually want their guys to go on the air and talk about bollocks and bullshit and cock and all of those sort of things. They're more likely to be things that are accidentally said, either by presenters, of course, but also by interviewees or competition winners.
Bellend has made it to the list, and I've got an example here of a presenter saying Bellend. Would you like to hear it?
I'd love to hear this one.
Here we go.
Complete the name of this group: Buffalo
Springfield.
Which singing guitarist released the cover of Bob Marley's I Shot the Sheriff?
Eric Clapton.
Ginger Baker was a member of which three-piece?
Cream.
Right on the bell end there.
So he obviously didn't mean to say it, but it came out of his mouth.
Indeed. There are a couple of interesting new words. As Stuart said, it's 6 years since one of these studies has come out, and there are a couple of new words that have made it, more than a couple, actually. Feck is in there, so Agnes Brown on Mrs. Brown's Boys has got to be careful. Clunge is in there, so the in-betweeners have got to be careful. There's stuff like rug muncher, beef curtains. On the offensive side, one phrase has gone up from being quite mild in use 6 years ago to now being quite strong, which is chick with a dick. Slope is in there, which is the Jeremy Clarkson one, where he described someone walking across a rickety bridge in the Far East as having, you know, there's a slope on the bridge. That's offensive to Asian people in reference to their foreheads. So there are a few ones in there. Pussy is in there. and of course a whole range of others. One of the things, the good things they've done this year, Ofcom, is they printed out a quick reference guide, which I think you've mentioned already, and that's the kind of thing really that should be printed out and left in the studios, not only for general amusement but also for easy reference.
You mentioned beef curtains. Would you like to hear a clip?
I'd love to hear one. Go ahead.
Here we go.
Hang on, we just had a text message here. My name is Margaret, and I have a lovely pair of thick beef curtains.
No, you don't make curtains out of beef. I think you've got
and one. I'm looking for another pair for my spare room. Has anyone got a pair for sale? Thick beef curtain. Am I missing something here?
Is that for me?
Yes.
Could they be beige?
Yes, he is missing something, isn't he, really?
It could be beige. Could that, Margaret? It could be some innuendo here that I'm not reading in, which I should understand. It could be, I don't know.
Is she a butcher's wife, do you think?
I have no idea. Margaret, you give us a call. You're on 080, your last three digits. Give us a call. Come on here. And I have no idea what you're talking about. Perhaps it's an old-fashioned design.
Of course, a lot of these things are the result of someone calling up and winding up the radio station and the innocence of some of the presenters. There's quite a few examples of those on the Radio Fail website, for example. And they're always very amusing.
So if a guest says a swear word, how likely is it that they'll get away with it if it goes to Ofcom?
Well, the reason this list exists is so that Ofcom have a tested set of phrases which they can refer to if there is a problem and a swear word or a discriminatory word goes out on air. They can look at this list and see what kind of response that word has elicited among the research panel and then make a decision based on that. For example, beef curtains is considered strong language. Although it's got low recognition, but it's seen as vulgar and distasteful, especially by women. So if that went out on the air, Ofcom might well look at this research and make a decision about the complaint based on this list. You know, I think it's worth pointing out, it's quite a serious point, that for the first time, this study published today shows that offensive language is generally seen as more problematic on radio than television, and that's because people think of radio as a much more intimate medium. We do ourselves, don't we? It's often on in the background at home, or where children could be listening without parental control.
And I mentioned the stars swearing. I've got a clip here from Radio 2. Let's have a listen to this one.
Jumping at the bit to go around the track, the celebrity in the reasonably priced car from Alan in Edinburgh. You'd love that programme. You'd love to.
Well, other than the fact that I'd be afraid of coming last on that fucking, you know.
No,
so, oh,
George, we have to apologise.
You have got
for
a
that.
Delay, haven't
no,
you?
No, we haven't. We must.
I thought I was an automatic delay candidate.
No, George is so relaxed that we do apologise.
I'm sorry, everybody.
Didn't mean to offend anyone. Anyway, back to the question.
I said fecking.
Okay, let's just move on. All right. Yeah. So you'd be scared of coming last, but would you do the Top Gear thing?
No.
You just wouldn't?
No.
Purely because of that.
So, George Michael, and as you were saying, Paul, feck, not really acceptable anymore. What I wanted to ask you, Paul, actually, was about briefing guests. So, George Michael on The Biggest Breakfast Show in Europe will have been told before he goes on air, please don't swear. How much credence do Ofcom give that in your defence if you say, well, we told them not to swear?
I think there are two things that Ofcom use in mitigation. One is if they get that pre-show briefing before an interview, and secondly, if the moment that the swear word happens, there's an apology. That tends to mitigate things. And Ofcom usually regard the matter as resolved if the presenter makes a swift apology after something has gone wrong. There was a famous case, you just played a clip of Chris Evans. He had Sir Elton John on his show just before 8 o'clock one morning. They were doing an interview where Elton swore and said fuck, and after the news, not only did Chris apologise, so did Elton, and of course they played sorry, seems to be the hardest word, cliche, but it, you know, that was a swift response to it. There have been a number of instances where presenters have allowed, you know, someone's accidentally sworn, the presenter, him or herself, has sworn, a guest has sworn, or a phone caller has sworn. And because there's been that immediate apology, it takes the sting away a bit. And the complaint, if there has been a complaint and it goes to Ofcom, usually gets resolved rather than upheld.
Piano very much.
Really?
No.
Okay, Jules Holland says the first thing he's got to do when he gets up in the morning, he's got to go and play the piano to reconnect himself with it.
Oh, fucking hell.
No, no, no. We must apologise for that.
I was just exasperated with that. I mean, I can't think of anything worse than getting up and playing the piano. I mean, it's what I do. I play. I do play over 100 shows a year and I make records. Sorry about that. I was just... The remark was just so... Oh,
sorry seems to be the hardest word, doesn't it?
It does. But I'm very, very sorry for that awful word that I said, Jules Holland.
Yeah.
No, Jules, why do you do that?
It's like, well, because it's his thing. That's the way he works. That's the way. Yeah. What were you drawing there?
Just me. doodling because I said that awful word.
You are, aren't you? That's
I could just see that, you know, the press having a field over me tomorrow.
That's a panic doodle, isn't it?
It's a panic doodle, yeah.
But you don't care about the press anymore, do you?
No, but I just shouldn't, you know.
But
I
you think about them.
Unawares.
You just talk about them then?
Yeah.
You shouldn't bother you anymore.
No, I know. But, you know, they are what they are.
They are what they are.
Yeah.
Planet Earth. And now an apology from Sir Elton John.
Well, I'm really, really sorry I said that naughty word. I just can't believe that anyone would actually want to get up and play the piano first thing in the morning. Oof. Well, it's now a stranger's folk.
Thank you. And sorry seems to be the hardest word, like you say, Paul. A great way to come out of that one. I think they did get a complaint or two, though, didn't they?
They did, and it was also on the front page of The Sun, I think, seem to remember, the next day. So bad publicity or good publicity, whatever you might consider it to be.
Fantastic. Well, thanks for joining us. Do you want to give your legal training plug whilst you're on?
Yeah, no, I do. As you said at the beginning, I go around radio stations and do two presentations, one about the law, media law, how to keep yourself out of trouble in terms of libel and contempt and copyright and things like that. And then I also do one all about compliance, all about Ofcom, all about the discriminatory language and offensive language, together with all the rules about competition and things like that. So if anyone wants to book me, I've got a website.
And that website is www.paulchandler.com. Fantastic. Paul, thank you very much for joining us, and no doubt we'll speak soon.
Yeah, all the best, Roy. All the best to you. Take care.
Thanks, Paul. Cheers now. So, Paul Chandler, who does this kind of thing, I remember working for GMG back in the day, and Paul came along with his training, and it was half a day out of the office. That's what I remember. But no, he does some fantastic stuff as well. So thanks, Paul, for that. And very worthwhile booking if you're a radio station that needs to remind radio presenters about what not to say on the radio.
Yeah, and talking of compliance and getting things approved, of course, the BBC has lots of pre-recorded programmes, and occasionally they'll have a pre-recorded programme which has got some really strong language in. And you might think, why on earth have they done that? And it's about having the relevant context and being relevant to the story that you're telling in your programme. The BBC's editorial guidelines, producer's guidelines, 5.3.2 say any proposal to use the strongest language, brackets, cunt, motherfucker, or fuck, or its derivatives, must be referred to and approved by the relevant output controller. Chief advisor of editorial policy may also be consulted. And in fact, only a couple of weeks ago, Radio 4 had the C word in a pre-recorded programme.
I noticed that. They said, stand by, we're going to swear, and then said cunt.
Yeah. But it's all about the context and the relevance. I think have you got the clip there?
Looking at a photo on his phone, and these are stuck on the wall. It says, just a warning, there's some strong language here. Vote out EU. Come on, England. Get the cunt out. And did that surprise you?
Yeah, I was surprised.
Did that surprise you? Yes, it did. We don't know if that's been complained about yet, do we? Because it was so new.
No, but again, it's a pre-recorded programme on Radio 4 in the middle of the daytime, so presumably it's been approved by the controller of Radio 4 and the editorial policy chief advisor as well. So, there we are. I wanted to just play one of my favourite bits of radio as well as as a nice bit to mention here, because in this report from Ofcom today, one of the things that they also say is about swearing substitutes the bleeping out of offensive language. And they're saying, actually, audiences don't really find that acceptable if you're using it a lot. So if you've got a big passage of radio where you've bleeped out 16 words and it's actually obvious what those words are, that's probably just as offensive as using the actual word, especially if you're repeating it over and over again. And you might remember a feature on Mark and Lard's show going back probably 20 years or so that they did called Lard's Classic Cuts. And the premise of this was that Lard would bring in a dusty, scratched vinyl record from his record collection every day and give it a spin on the air with hilarious consequences, and they generally crossed the line a little bit. And I wondered, in light of Ofcom's mentioning of bleeping out and editing swearing, whether you would get away with something like this today.
Mull of Kintyre.
Okay, lovely, right.
Mull of Kintyre. Strolling in from the Kinsea, my desire is always to Kinsea, on the Mull of Kintyre. Far have I kin traveled, and much have I seen you. As painter's son carries me home to the Kinmull of Kintyre. Mull of Kintyre, home is crawling in from the Kinsea. My desire is always to kin be here. Sweet kin ever, like deer in the glen, nights when we sang like a kin.
One of the great records,
one of the great,
yeah.
Mull of Kintyre. So I don't know whether they look them up on YouTube or on the internet. There's, if you search for Mark and Lard's Classic Cuts, there's some great filthy ones that they used to do on that programme.
Shall we hear a quick Daryl Denham jingle?
Oh, why not?
If you want to attract the chaps, you need the biggest baps. Make an appointment. 36 double D. Nice tits.
Still don't know how he got away with that.
No, medium language, say Ofcom, potentially unacceptable, and the vulgar or sexual use of it heightens the impact, which I think he did in that context.
He did, yeah. Thanks to Steve England and his singers for that. Just before we go through some of the words such as flaps, ginger and Jesus Christ, you may have heard the breaking news this evening is that Desmond Carrington is leaving BBC Radio 2 after 180 years. I think he joins us on the line now.
Have we got him?
Desmond, is that you?
Hello from Body, Scotland. Desmond Carrington from where the music goes round. And can I just say what an honour it is to appear in radio. Yes.
And what would be your congratulations on your retirement, by the way, and 90 years on Earth and 70 years on the radio. What are your favourite swear words that you've not been able to say over the years?
Well, still, one of the things thinks about the delights of taking retirement is now that finally, after all this time, I'm going to be able to get absolutely wankered, which is probably a favourite thing to do when you get to my age. You know, absolutely fucked off my face. And you know, it's somebody you can do. At my age, it's taken a lot. It's my reward for being on BBC Radio 2 all this time. So I'm looking forward to getting totally and utterly shit-faced.
In the interest of fairness, we must point out that is not Desmond Carrington, just in case.
No, but it is.
Okay. I just...
Yes, you've really got Desmond.
Oh, is this really you?
Boris Scotland. Yes.
Let me just cross over to Stuart. Stuart, could we get in trouble if we told people that was Desmond Carrington when it really wasn't?
Probably.
Okay.
I think it's just some dickhead fannying about.
Hey, what? Oh, okay, yeah. Do you want to reveal yourself?
No, Desmond Carrington.
Okay. Desmond Carrington.
When the music goes round, it's been an absolute pleasure, for I am a little bit tipsy at the moment, had some gin and whiskey since I finished tonight's broadcast. Don't forget, you can join me over the next few weeks for my final flings, and then I'm going to, you know, have a bit of a sharabang and an orgy. You're very welcome to join me.
That is Kesmond Darrington, everybody. Thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Good luck. Bye-bye. You've been cut off. That was a bit... I was getting a bit worried there because it sounded dead like him.
He wasn't him then.
No.
No.
Just for the record.
But, yeah.
Ooh. So,
he was a gentleman.
Was a gentleman. So, if we go through this list, discriminatory language...
Mm-hmm. You want to just read them all out, yeah?
These the words...
You want to just get balls deep?
Yeah, why not? These the words... I don't know if what's this... Is this the list that you can't say? The one that starts with arse?
It goes through whether they're strong or medium or mild. So okay. Some of them you can get away with. And actually, if you listen to people like Chris Moyles on Breakfast, he will use words like bloody, mm-hmm. probably arse sometimes as well, and God, and perhaps minger, and maybe even pissed.
So he does that. Is that his state, or is that the word he's using? He does that on purpose, then, just to push the boundaries a little bit.
Well, not necessarily on purpose, but he knows where the line is, and he knows what he's going to get away with in the right context. If you listen to any American radio, by the way, you listen to Elvis Duran out of New York, and he'll use... obviously, they're different regulation in the States, but, you know, they can get away with son of a bitch and crap and bullshit and bullcrap and things like that all the time, so... Yeah.
In Ireland as well, not too far away from this particular studio, they say more swear words than we do in the UK. So bloody and all that kind of thing that we don't generally use here, exactly, is on every day in daytime radio in Ireland. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 pages of words, and then further on than that, we've got another list, which you said not to mention on this particular broadcast because we don't want to go there. So I'm not going to go there. But these are words... in the religious category, the older people category, sexual orientation, which Paul Chandler mentioned a couple of them, and mental health. So you wouldn't do that on purpose because it's just not nice.
Yeah, but it is, if you're a broadcaster, it's worth looking at the list and actually understanding where you can't go because some of the languages change perhaps since you last were made aware of what you could and couldn't say, you know. There are words like fairy and things, which in the wrong context can get you into a bit of trouble.
I mean, even the word gay is on here. It says, some concern when used in a derogatory way or to mean something bad. So that's fine. If you're just explaining that somebody is gay, that's fine. Yeah. But if you're calling them that as a name, then that's...
Yeah, or as we've seen in the past, referring to things as gay, you know, saying, oh, that's a bit gay. And I think Chris Moyles got in trouble with Ofcom a few years ago for that as well. So, yeah, it's really important about the context and about, you know, knowing the meanings of words change.
there's loads of words for race and stuff like that in here, which I'm not even going to say on this radio station, because everybody should read this list.
And we're not here to offend.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody should read this list and know what not to say. So on the first couple of pages, we've got things like bugger, bollocks, bullshit, even cow. Cow is mild language.
Yeah, cow's all right.
Yeah.
You can get away with cow at breakfast, I reckon. Crap, daft cow.
Crap is generally of little concern. Depends where you do it, I guess. The crap, uh-huh, that is. If it's not in the toilet, then it's not good. Damn. Not Trevor Dan, but damn with a m. Dickhead, fanny, flaps, fuck. Ginger, ginger.
You see, if you say something, somebody's fanning about, the meaning of that might be different to the word it derives from. So you might be all right with that.
Might be okay with a bit of fanny. You're saying
fannying.
Oh, fannying is fine.
Fannying about.
Son of a bitch.
Thanks.
Is a medium language, potentially unacceptable pre-watershed. So after 9 o'clock, fill your boots. It's fine. Can say it.
I was once sat next to a breakfast presenter who used the word twat
on the breakfast show.
Yeah, but he didn't know what it meant.
Really?
Yeah, and this is probably going back 15 years. So I was sat there 5 to 8 waiting to read the news, and he was just talking about something that had been on the telly, and he was asking me, Stu, what do you call that twat with the long hair? And I think he meant twit. But I had to tell him on the air he couldn't say that.
And there was the famous one with David Cameron, of course, talking about Twitter.
Yeah, too many twits make a twat.
Indeed. Fantastic. Well, I think we've exhausted the list, because I'm not going...
Oh, have we?
I'm not going past the...
Slapper.
Exactly. I'm not going past that particular...
Oh, what about Shag? Shag's an interesting one.
Yeah, because that's, again, double meaning.
It's the name of a dance, because it's the name of a dance.
Yeah.
So, in the context that Martin Kellner used it on a radio station you were in charge of about 15 years ago.
Did he?
Yeah. Do you want to play the clip?
Have I got it?
Yeah. Should be on your cart wall.
Is it?
Yeah.
What's it called?
It's called Shag.
The only radio station where you can search for the word shag and something comes up. Shaggy, shagging sheep?
No.
Is that it? What's no, that?
I don't know, don't play that.
Oh, hang on a second.
In the east of Dumfries and Galloway, livestock have been moved to higher ground as the rivers Annan and Nith burst their banks in places. The rivers rose 15 feet above normal levels at one point.
So you need to go up the hill and, if you want to shag the night off a sheep.
And some areas also the water has risen.
Somebody on the talkback talking about shagging sheep. Fantastic.
Mm. No, you should have a clip called Kelner Shag.
The shag is totally cool.
That shag is totally cool. Everybody's doing it, Edward.
Matt, you were shagging too, he said.
He was shagging too. They're all shagging. Everybody is shagging, and that's marvellous news, because it's totally cool. Originally a hit in 1959, not on the playlist, not available on Galaxy 102.
Matt, he's totally cool, what they call Edward. A sweep across the northwest.
It's absolutely right across the northwest. And the great news is if you're doing the shag in Blackburn or Darwin, more variety. Oi.
More variety of shagging in Blackburn. So I asked Martin to do a programme on my temporary station, The Bee, back in the day, and that's what he got up to.
Bastard.
I should have monitored the output more. I've got one here that says, more cunt, BBC Radio 4. Let's see how this would go.
We heard this morning one of the primary examples of the Freudian slip that we're ever likely to hear on Radio 4.
we're not going to repeat in quite the terms it happened, but...
but now almost anybody now listening who was listening this morning will be aware of something that was happening.
Jeremy Cunt, the Hunt, the Culture Secretary, had his name, Freudianly, transposed. Right.
So they were talking about making a mistake, and then they went on to repeat it.
And that's always the danger, isn't it? And Paul was suggested to print out the quick, handy guide to what you can and can't say and have it in the studio, but if it's sat there in front of you, you're more likely to read the fucking thing out.
Did you just swear?
Did I?
I don't think there was any context needed for that.
Sorry.
Bellend, Beaver, Blood Clot is on the list there. Strong language, generally unacceptable pre-watershed, low recognition, so not many people know what a blood clot is. Double A at the end.
No, I've no idea.
Okay, so I think we're about to wrap up before Gary King comes along with his totally 90s show. from Blue Revolution. Anything to add before we fuck off?
No, just be careful. I think that's the main advice, isn't it? Don't get yourself into a bit of trouble.
Yeah.
Oh, don't forget to mention the new Minister for Radio.
Oh, yes, that was fun. On Monday at the Radio Festival, Matt Hancock stood giving his speech at the Radio Festival on Monday, straight after Scott Mills had played an edition of Innuendo Bingo. And one of the innuendo clips was a list of words that went together, and the last two words were cock and gobbler. So those two words, cock gobbler, were stuck on the screen in front of Matt,
the minister,
mm-hmm. As he was reading his entire speech. And once he'd finished his speech, he said afterwards, "I've just stood here for 10 minutes talking to you with the words cock gobbler in front of me." So now he will forever be known as
Matt Hancock Gobbler.
Matt Hancock Gobbler. Good stuff. Thank you, Stuart.
Fuck off.
Really no need for any of that. There really wasn't.